Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Autotrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Autotrader. Really?
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. One more sleep. And then we have a World Cup final tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Spain and Argentina meeting for the World Cup at MetLife Stadium tonight. We're going to get you all ready for it. We got all the segments, all the news, all the updates, all the drama, all the things that are being said. Yeah, we'll talk about England and France and all of that chaos as well, because that was ridiculous. We'll get into all of these things as we go tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz for a long portion of the show. What's up, Maddie?
Recovering from, I didn't expect the third place game to be absolutely unhinged. But I mean, I guess I should have expected it, but like I just was not prepared. But it happened. And here we are.
I expected either it would be completely boring or completely unhinged. I'm glad we got unhinged. Third place games are weird. They mean nothing unless you're dictator Mbappe and you want the golden boot, and then they mean something. And he might. I don't think he'll win the golden ball, though it could get interesting if Spain wins the tournament. Because, look, if Argentina wins, you know Messi's going to win the golden ball, because he will probably have more than 12 goal contributions in the tournament and win the tournament. If Spain wins, there's not an obvious candidate for the player of the tournament. Does Mbappe get it then? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. He's got the golden boot more than likely, unless Lionel Messi goes completely crazy tomorrow. Mbappe, as we said many times on this show during this run, Kylian Mbappe is now the all-time leading goal scorer in the history of the World Cup. We said that would happen likely before the end of the tournament. It has. Double-digit goals. It's the first time since 74 you've had double-digit goals in a World Cup. But let's get into the final tomorrow. Argentina-Spain. These teams have met really not that often. 14 times over 74 years. They've only played one time at a World Cup, group stage in 66 in England, Argentina 1-2-1. They have never played in a knockout game. They were supposed to play in the Finalissima back in March in Qatar, but that did not happen due to safety reasons related to the conflicts in the Middle East. So you get it here, and it's the first time that you've had the defending European champions against the defending South American champions in a World Cup final. Just crazy. Spain's got one World Cup, 2010. Argentina, three stars on the shirt. They're the defending champions since 2022. I mean, Maddie, I don't think you could have really drawn up outside of Brazil, Germany, with all of the World Cups that they both have. You couldn't have drawn up a more compelling final with what we've seen in this tournament.
Oh, I mean, I think especially with everything that we've seen in the tournament, I feel like at the end of the day, this is one of the best outcomes you could have had. I mean, obviously, I know from us chatting at the very beginning of this World Cup, I obviously had picked France to win the whole thing. That obviously didn't happen. But I also said that it would be a France-Spain final, and I didn't know who would win it. I had no idea.
Well, semifinal. They were only going to be able to play in the semis if they both won their groups.
Which, yeah, it that
which
happened.
Which did it.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's one with Spain that I think they have become a team that, you know, I think had a lot of questions very early on in the tournament. But then as the tournament continued, they got better and better and better and better. And now I think the Spain team that we thought we would see probably in Atlanta back when they faced Cape Verde. We thought we would see that team, I think, early on. And they have progressively just gotten so much better. And Argentina, I mean, I said it with Abe yesterday on Five Stripes Countdown. Argentina is a team that just can't say die, like, ever. I mean, you think they're out, and then they're like, hold on. They're like, pump your brakes. We're coming back, guys. We're ready to go. I swear, it's like they kick it into another gear. It's like they wait. They wait for the moment. They're like, you know what? In 4 minutes, we're going to get two goals. Let's go. And then it happens, and you're like, oh, okay, awesome. Great, awesome, cool. That's why this game, I really don't know how it's going to go, because Spain could get up two goals, and then, like, the end of the game could happen, and Argentina could come and tie it up. I have no clue what's going to happen tomorrow.
When we talk about tournament predictions, I will pat myself on the back that I got the final right. I don't know if a lot of people did, because I think most people had France getting past Spain. You were not in the minority picking France to get to the final and to win it. I picked Spain against Argentina, who I love, and we had this conversation.
Huh? I thought early on, wasn't it Spain-France final? Or no, did you say Argentina? Am I thinking wrong?
No, because it couldn't be France-Spain final unless somebody didn't win their group. No, it was Spain-Argentina.
Very true, yep.
Here's how my whole cycle went, because I'll tell you the whole story. So after the draw, I said Spain was the best team. I said Spain would win the World Cup. After the draw, that's back in December. Remember, the March window, and then you had Lamine Yamal get hurt in April. The March window, Spain didn't look good. France looked like world beaters. I said France had become the favorite by that point. Then, remember, France lost at home in the build-up to the tournament. There were questions about Mbappe being healthy. And before the tournament started, the day before, we had our final picks here on the show. I said Spain, Argentina in the final. And as much as it pained me, I said Spain to win the World Cup. I would have to still pick them because I think they're the more complete team right now. But the way that this tournament has gone and whatever mystical powers are surrounding Argentina at this moment, I would never bet against them because this team is just on another planet in terms of not giving up, in terms of finding ways to win, in terms of all the intangibles. Like Spain, super tactical, super organized. They're going to have all the possession. That's going to be difficult for Argentina. They don't give up many chances because they usually have the ball. Spain does so many good things. But Argentina are the defending champions. And I think we've seen in this tournament that they do not want to give up that trophy very easily. They've found ways to get results done. So, you know, the other thing about this matchup is these two teams haven't played much in a while. The last two meetings were 2010 and 2018. 2010, Spain had won the World Cup. They went to Buenos Aires. They played a friendly. They lost 4-1. Messi scored in that one. 2018, Argentina went to Madrid, got beat 6-1. Isco with the hat trick. Messi was injured, did not play. So you don't have like history between these two. It's actually the first time since the first World Cup final that you've had two Spanish-speaking nations in the final. Never happened since 1930. When you look at them on paper, Spain hasn't lost since early 2024, which is wild. Argentina has won 14 straight. They're on a 19-win, 1-loss, 1-draw stretch. Spain has only conceded one goal in the tournament. Argentina's averaging almost 3 goals per game. What gives? Offense, defense?
For Argentina or for either side?
I mean, Argentina's been the best offense in the tournament. Spain's been the best defense. Which one is better in this?
I mean, obviously, when we talk about anything else, I always try to lean more towards defense because that for me is just my bread and butter for me. And especially with the way Spain has played, I really like that. And I like how they do it in a way where it's so defensively sound, but it's not parking the bus, and that's not what it is. And they're able to be so sound defensively, get back quickly to be structured, but can also be dangerous in the attack. It's one for me, especially in a match like this. I don't know. It's one where I want to say, I don't know if Argentina can get through it, but we've seen Argentina get through it so many different times that I really think that if Argentina can find one, but if Spain can find a couple others, I don't know. Like it's one where I'm actually like, I keep going back and forth in my mind about it where I'm like, I could see it where maybe Spain is able to hold them off a little bit because of defensively and how they're able to hold down and how they've done it in other ways, how they did it against France, a team that I think we all thought, like, especially in that way of, yeah, I mean, it was a dismantling what Spain did to France. Yep. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen against Argentina, but I don't know. Defense versus offense in that way, I couldn't tell you. I really don't.
I think Argentina is more efficient than France. I think France is a great attacking team, obviously, but I feel like they're a little more volume. They wear you down by constant attacks with Mbappe, with Olise, with Dembele. Argentina, as we've seen in this tournament, they can be under a lot of pressure and then have one breakthrough. And look, when you have the best player to ever do it, that's why. It doesn't take a whole bunch of opportunities. So it's fascinating in this regard. Spain's manager, Luis de la Fuente, first, there's a ton of connections between de la Fuente and Lionel Scaloni, which are very cool, and we'll talk about. And we'll get into some of the tactics a little bit in hour number two with a friend of ours, John Aiken, the head coach of Oglethorpe University's Woo! Men's soccer team. Been there for over 2 decades, and he's a guy who, when we talk tactics, we end up coming back to these kind of conversations. So I caught up with him earlier today. I think you'll enjoy that. I want to end with this one, and I think it applies to both teams in a different way. Luis de la Fuente has had a habit of quoting Roman emperors, which is fascinating. We've had a lot of quotable managers in this tournament, which has been a lot of fun. But Luis de la Fuente, one that he has used and really, to me, applies to both teams, Marcus Aurelius, the famous Roman emperor. The line is, what brings no benefit to the hive brings none to the bee. So a lot of times it gets flipped the other way. You know, what's good for the hive is good for the bee. Basically, it's about the collective. And I think the collective is what makes both of these teams so strong, but in different ways. For Spain, obviously, you're a possession-based team. It's about the collective. You don't have really any player in this tournament who has been that breakout star. Lamine Yamal hasn't been 100%. He's been good. You've had Rodri be excellent in this tournament, but nobody has captivated it. For Argentina, it's different. You have Lionel Messi. But the collective plays for him, and he plays for the collective. So even with a star, you still have that. That's what's so fascinating about this matchup. Spain, Argentina, two different kinds of collectives meeting in the World Cup final. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will talk about those two coaches. We'll talk about Luis de la Fuente of Spain. We'll talk about Lionel Scaloni of Argentina and how important they both are to their teams. More Atlanta Soccer Tonight coming up on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths. Without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. More Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. So much to get into as we get ready for the World Cup final tomorrow at 3 o'clock. One thing to get into is where we will be if you want to join us. South Downtown is going to be the spot. Abe Gordon will be on the air from 2 to 6 in Founders Green. We will be crashing the party multiple times during Abe's show with updates on the game. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on. Come down and hang out if you can. If you're busy during the game, that's cool. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be live from 6 till 9 tomorrow night from the Brew House, South Downtown. Have arranged our spot in there because it's going to be full. It's going to be crazy. Whoever wins, there's going to be celebrating going on. It's going to be a rowdy, rowdy time tomorrow for the World Cup final. I got Madison Cruz riding shotgun with me tonight, and let's get into these coaches because, you know, we talk a lot in AST and on SDH about the impact and the importance of coaches and of really how they manage their players. And I think what's so interesting about this one is Lionel Scaloni back in 2017, well before he got the job coaching the Argentine national team, he was studying for his UEFA pro license, the highest coaching qualification in European football. So he took a course in Spain. Luis de la Fuente taught the course.
Wow.
It's crazy how that goes. De La Fuente was managing the Spain U19s at that time. Scaloni reportedly finished with one of the best marks in the class. And he's given De La Fuente a ton of credit for helping him and helping his fellow classmates get through that class. They're both really interesting in that Scaloni's never managed at the club level. And De La Fuente, he was kind of on the outside looking in. He had been fired at Alaves in 2011 when they were in the second division, was out of football for a year and a half, then got involved on the Spain youth national team things. So two coaches who have really had to grind and work their way up to this point. And they, I think their personalities are reflected by their teams. And we'll start with Argentina. I mean, we've talked about this since the last World Cup. Scaloni, one, is just amazing to watch on the touchline because he somehow is able to bottle up all of his emotions. And it's almost like unsettling how stoic he is at times. It's crazy. Well,
it's wild, though, because, like, I got to say, like, from watching him on the touchline with Argentina, just watching games in the Egypt game and then in the England game was the first time I've ever seen him actually have a reaction. And I was more startled at that. I was like, whoa.
And he didn't have much of one. The Egypt game, Messi's equalizer, he did. That's the only time I've ever seen him really react. I think it was the Egypt one, the winner from Enzo Fernandez, and he like puts his hand over his mouth like, oh my God, we just did that. And then,
yes,
then,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, too. And it was like such a crazy look in his eyes. And then he immediately snapped into, okay, we got to see this game out. And yep. It was the same thing against England. It was, you know, okay, I'm not going to react because there's still work to do here. And if you haven't seen his reaction to them winning the penalty shootout in 2022, it's amazing because he keeps it all in for so long. And then he goes to sit down, he gets back up, he's trying really hard. And I think it was Montiel who gets to him first. And Montiel said something to him that we couldn't quite see on the camera. And Scaloni just burst into tears. They call him the crier. Like, the players call him the crier because he's always crying and behind closed doors with them. But we've seen these conversations that he has with players. It's such a unique relationship. And I think because of that, they will run through every brick wall they have to for him.
It's exact. I mean, it's one of those things where when you have someone like that, especially just, I think, in what he brings on the touchline in the locker room for that side, it makes every player like want to back him and want to do well for him in those situations, especially for what he's done for the Argentinian national team. I mean, that's the guy, like, if I'm a player, that's exactly the guy that I am going to be sitting there and I'm going to fight for every single opportunity. No brainer.
He got the job in such an interesting way, too, because that job had become extremely difficult, really difficult after. And Tata Martino was there in the Copa America Centenario loss in 2016. They lost to Copa America before that in 2015 in penalties. They lost in the World Cup final in 2014 in extra time. It was a really difficult job. Jorge Sampaoli took them to 2018 and the World Cup in Russia. It didn't go well. They got knocked out in the round of 16. They didn't play well, although the round of 16 game against France was 4-3 and crazy. Scaloni got the job because nobody else wanted it. And he was able to keep it during COVID and able to get the group to win the Copa America in 2021. And you've seen it all click with this group now. And De La Fuente, he's an interesting one as well because he's also emotional. I mean, he's quoting Roman Emperor, so you know there's a little something different about him. But he broke down in the pregame press conference before the France match, a question about his own brother who had passed away 3 years ago. That broke him in the press conference. His son is part of Spain's coaching staff right now. So these are two coaches who I think just understand the connection between coach and player, and maybe more importantly, they understand how that relationship has changed in 2026 versus when I think these guys played. You know, you could be the hard man coach and yell at people and be, you know, a my way or the highway kind of guy. I think 10, 20 years ago, that was the norm. And now I don't think you can pull that off. And I think guys like this that can tap into the emotion and understand it and bring that out of their players is what works best.
I think for both Scaloni and for De La Fuente, I think one thing that I've always loved about both of them, whenever I watch them in pressers or anything, you know, it's one where it always feels like, especially when they do talk about the game, when they talk about those moments, it feels, and listen, media training, all of that, whatever, but it really does feel genuine whenever they talk about anything else that's going on. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
No,
but
I think these two threw the media training out. They are just themselves.
They're like, goodbye. But it's one where, especially with everything and how the game has evolved, especially when it comes to, I think, relationships and every sort of way. We talk about building relationships on the field, but you also do have to build relationships with your coach and the coaching staff on the touchline too. You got to build it all over the place. And I think it also gives teams a level of trust when you have a coach like De La Fuente, like Scaloni, who aren't afraid to, you know, hey, I'm going to be the hard nosed type of guy when I need to be, but hey, you know what? Like, you're going to see my heart on my sleeve as well. Like, well, let's do this together. Cause I think it also showcases as well that, like, yeah, it's all right to have that emotion and to show that emotion and to be passionate about those things, whether it's football, whether it's personal stuff or anything like that. I think it helps with overall, I think, morale and mentality. And also it helps especially with the way that both of these teams play on the pitch too.
Yeah, I think the other thing to bring it back to the pitch with these two is they have a clear idea of how they want their teams to play, but they're not rigid in how they get there. I think Spain maybe a little bit more because of some of the people and pieces that they have. You have somebody like Rodri, you're going to have usually more of a six by themselves because Rodri can do that. You don't really have a true nine, so you're going to have a lot of movement between your nine and your two central midfielders and your wingers. So I think De La Fuente has a lot of flexibility in more of a system geared to his players, whereas Scaloni is a little more fluid, but everything is going to be about getting the best out of Lionel Messi. So he can pop up in different places and the team adjusts to that. That's what's so fascinating. And I think when you look at this, and this was a big conversation out of England when they lost the lead to Argentina, and I think it's been twisted so many different ways at this point about players sitting back, Tuchel telling them to sit back. No, Tuchel told them to advance. Coaching staff told them to advance. Argentina made subs, and England had to make corresponding subs. All that. England didn't always look like England in this tournament. I think France didn't always look like France. At times, they looked like the Kylian Mbappe show, and that's a pretty good show. It works pretty well. Germany didn't look like Germany in this tournament. Portugal, they didn't really look like Portugal at times. It looked like the Cristiano Ronaldo show, and that was not a good show to watch. So, like, I think Spain and Argentina consistently looked like Spain and Argentina. And the reason why they're able to do that is because these managers have such strong convictions in how they see and feel the game, and their players understand that.
I would also totally recommend, if anyone hasn't, you should go listen to Emma Hayes talk about that game specifically. She did a podcast, I think a roundtable.
It was on the rest is football with Gary Lineker. Yeah.
I really loved her explanation, I think, talking about it. Because you talked a lot about tactically and also especially, you know, when it comes, because a lot of people, I think, have been criticizing Thomas Tuchel, especially with the substitutions and everything. And the one thing that she said is, I love that she said, you know, a lot of times when you change things tactically, it doesn't involve substitutions. It doesn't involve that. And that's something, especially too, and she gave huge credit to Scaloni because, I mean, tactically, even without the subs, he was able to still manage everything else. And it, maybe if they had an extra hydration break, we're looking at a different scenario with Thomas Tuchel. Maybe he's able to figure some things out in that point. But, you know, ultimately, it's Scaloni and what they were able to do. It's what let it be. But I would totally recommend, if you haven't listened to her talk about it, totally go listen to it, because it's really incredible stuff.
But yeah, it's been one of the better takes on the Thomas Tuchel situation, because I feel like it's turned into a lot of finger pointing, and that's not really fair, because we talked about it in the press box watching the game. And if you go back and watch after England scores, they stayed on the front foot for a couple of minutes. And you had a couple of sequences where Argentina broke them playing on the front foot. And then you had the Jed Spence tackle that was a last-ditch tackle that earned a corner for Argentina. It was after that that it felt like England got spooked a little bit. And they're like, man, we can't be on the front foot. We got to drop. And you had 5 to 10 minutes of them playing that way before you had subs. And by that point, you had started to see some subs for Argentina and things were starting to evolve.
Yeah, which is wild, especially with the Jed Spence tackle, because I remember seeing that. I mean, like, ooh, that's incredible.
Yeah,
great tackle.
It was a great tackle.
Like, for me, it's one, why would, like, that for me, especially in that situation, like, I see a tackle like that and I see my teammate do it. I'm like, yeah, you know what?
Yeah,
like,
but you got to go to the reality of it. If he doesn't make that tackle, it's 1-1 in the 60th Absolutely. Minute and you've already blown the lead. So, and yeah, you've got two different mentalities between the two teams there. And I think Spain is much more of the Argentine mentality of, you know, we know who we are and we're going to always be ourselves if we're ahead or behind. Like, of course, you're going to make like moves to get ahead or to, you know, preserve something in the last 5 minutes, but you're not going to betray who you are. And England, I don't think ever completely got to who they were consistently. And or here's the flip side, which English fans might not want to hear, that is who they are. And they are a team that is insecure. And it's because you haven't won anything since 66, whereas Argentina has won 3 straight tournaments. Spain has won their last tournament. So you got two teams that aren't going to be afraid of anything tomorrow.
You're going to have it's one with both of those, and it's both of the team. Like, that's why for me, when we talk about this matchup tomorrow, it's why when Abe was asking me about it on the pre and the post after Atlanta United last night, like, it's one where I'm just like really curious to see the chess match, I think, between both of these sides because of how they play and because of who's managing both of those sides. I mean, you have two managers that have fully set in the entire team buying into what they are and buying into how they want to play, how they want to move, what they need to do when they're out there on the pitch, and completely bought in. And it's both teams, I mean, riding high, especially in a tournament where that's where you need to get hot, especially right here in the final. It's one I'm so like, I'm really like getting excited for tomorrow, because it's just, these are the types of matches that you love to see. I think especially in a final between both of these sides, like I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
There's so many great stories between these two and the coaches having to grind their way through the business of the sport to lead their teams to a World Cup final for the first time in De La Fuente's case, a second time in Lionel Scaloni's case. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about some of the physicality that we might or might not see tomorrow, because there's narratives. We'll talk about them. They're not always the actual reality of what's happening. We'll get into it on the other side of the break. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Let's get into this, because this has been an interesting conversation around Argentina in this tournament. No, we're not doing the conspiracy theory thing. I don't have a tinfoil hat. And yes, I am a little biased on one side of this, because I've fallen in love with the sport because of Argentina. So I think at times there is a lot of anti-Argentine sentiment that comes from some very weird places, very strange influences for that, and one of them is being a big fan of Cristiano Ronaldo, which shouldn't have anything to do with Argentina, but for whatever reason, it has become a Ronaldo or Messi thing instead of a Ronaldo and Messi thing as both being great, which is silly, and maybe there's some very popular streamers who are a big part of that. But I digress. Let's get into this. So, Aymeric Laporte, center back for Spain, he said this week that Argentina has been getting away with things, and not, again, the conspiracy theory stuff. He said he's not bothered by aggression in the sport generally, so long as it's officiated properly, but he said that in Argentina's recent matches, he's seen things go unpunished that surprised him. He said that Spain has been a clean team this tournament by comparison, and he said that the team in Spain has talked about the physicality, talked about the officiating. He said, look, it's out of our hands. He said, in recent matches, we've seen things that have greatly surprised us. Well, Aymeric Laporte used to be a teammate of El Kun Agüero at Manchester City. And Agüero wasn't going to let that slide. He said, stop trying to play tough guy from a distance. They both made it clear that they were joking as friends because they played together under Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. And we all know how people get on social media. But the stats don't actually, they kind of complicate this. So Argentina has committed the most fouls in the tournament. So they're being called for fouls. They have played more matches than most teams, as have Spain, and now France and England. Two that went to extra time, so more minutes. Adjusted per 90 minutes, they rank just 21st in most penalized in the entire field. 9 yellows, 0 reds. Spain actually fouls more than Argentina does when you adjust it for possession share. So you're not going to foul if you have the ball as much, generally. It's a little more complicated than any just random thing. I think Aymeric Laporte was working the referees ahead of time, which is a smart thing to do going into a final, whatever you could do to get whatever call might make the difference. But we watched the Argentina-England game, and I thought in the first half, both teams were trying to bully the other one, and neither team would be bullied. It didn't seem like it was one-way traffic on the Bully Express.
I didn't think so either. I mean, especially in a match like that, with the history, with everything, I think, coming into the fold. Early on, it was both teams, I think, trying to feel out the match as a whole. It obviously ended it being a little chippy, and things got a little bit feisty early on. But yeah, I think it was both teams just trying to, I think, kind of get a rise and trying to, I think, come in and just, you know, said a statement. It was both sides. I felt like it was on both ways as it continued on too. And even throughout the rest of the game too. I thought once things kind of finally settled in, and I think things started to go, especially because you had that coming together a little bit in the middle of the first half, that happened. I feel like after that, it kind of then was like, all right, hey, let's get to business. Let's do this.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's funny because I feel like there are teams that get praised for being tough. And for whatever reason, Argentina gets pointed at the other way. Some of it is just down to they're the defending champions. And I think there are is always that mentality from some to root against the team that has been successful. Now,
well, and also, like, I was thinking about this too. And like, it's one thing as well, especially in that game. Are we going to talk about how Messi was absolutely like clobbered by Harry Kane, and then Messi was able to spin out of it and continue to go forward and then was brought down and fouled?
By a horrendous challenge, by the way.
Horrendous foul. But the first one, when he got clobbered by Kane, he could have fallen over and that would have been a foul too, but he didn't. He bulldozed through and said, nope, I'm holding on to this ball. Like, it's one for me where, like, listen, like, whatever, like, people can think whatever conspiracy, whatever is going on, and you're entitled to do whatever you think in that way. I think especially pointing at the last game or anything else, like, I don't think that there was anything like that at all, actually. No. I don't even think you can point a direction in either way about it either. No, I felt like it was a game that both teams had moments where it was like, all right, hey, yeah, it's chippy.
The first half felt like two tough guys trying to prove that they were tough to each other. And that's fine. That it was a fascinating 45 minutes because of that, because I thought both teams couldn't really achieve what they were trying to do, which was to assert their dominance physically. Both went for it. Neither got it. It was fascinating again to see some of the responses from English media, English fan base, that just, you're not watching the game and you're upset about the result, and I get that to a point, but don't feed into what is becoming literally a social media meme of Argentina cheats. It's crazy. Like, if you can somehow like have a conspiracy theory that allows a team to lose a two-goal lead in Egypt or lose a one-goal lead like England, that's a pretty impressive conspiracy theory that you've been able to do this entire tournament and have these things happen. But anyway, that's why conspiracy theories are a little crazy.
Well, and even like, and obviously I think the big glaring one, I mean, the one that even in sort of any argument, I would even say you go back to the Egypt game, and obviously it's the foul that happens, or the foul, I kind of say in quotations, because I don't think it's a foul, on Mohamed, on Salah.
Oh, there's absolutely no foul in that.
And it turns and leads to the goal. Then there was the argument about, oh, well, Egypt got a goal taken away because of that. But here's the thing.
Well, they're two different things. But exactly. Yes.
Two different things.
The one with the goal that would have been the second, they ended up getting the second goal, but what would have been the second goal, what, about 5 minutes before, there was a foul in the buildup and the play didn't stop and it started the attacking sequence and it's a foul. If you want to yell at the referee not calling that initially, sure, you can do that, but it's a foul. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. It's not being made up. It's a judgment call, and the VAR said that's a foul in the attacking phase of play. And the referee looked at it and gave it. Egypt still went on to get a second goal.
Yeah. And then for Salah's too, like, especially, just from my opinion watching it multiple times, to me it looks like, yeah, there's contact. It's both of them going in for it. And then honestly, it looks like Salah kind of, like, scuffs the turf a little bit. Like, the footing kind of becomes a bit off.
And that's
then
after the ball was knocked away by Alvarez cleanly.
Exactly.
It's a 50-50 at that point because nobody has possession. And
exactly.
Salah kind of catches his toe in the ground and goes over Alvarez, and he's not diving this time. And Mo Salah has a little bit of a history in diving. He's not diving. He goes down, and he's not trying to draw the penalty either. He's not, again, if you're diving in that situation or you're exaggerating, you're throwing your arms up, you're rolling around, you're reacting. He didn't do any of that.
No.
Nobody on the Egyptian bench reacted. Again, conspiracy theories, and it's foolish, and it's very frustrating that it's been platformed by some people who should know better. And it gets you clicks, and that's what it's there for. But let me go back to Spain, because even though this is before Aymeric Laporte's time, I do get what he's trying to do. So this is a Spain team that wants the ball on a regular basis. Typically, if you have more of the ball, you get fouled more because the other team's trying to get it from you. I mean, it's, you know, just logic. And you go back to 2010, and you go back to when Spain won the World Cup, and the Netherlands, who got away from playing like the Netherlands, and they've stayed away from that for a long time now, they committed 28 fouls in that final that went to extra time. That's a whole lot. Nigel de Jong caught Xabi Alonso in the chest with a kung fu kick that somehow only got a yellow. Huizinga picked up a late red that didn't really mean anything by that point. That match in Spain still gets brought up a lot as like a cautionary tale. So you had a lot of complaining about the Spain-Uruguay match earlier in this tournament where you had a lot of rough play from Uruguay, who was trying to rescue their tournament. They had one player sent off. Spain plays a certain way now. They used to play in a more physical way. They don't as much anymore. South American football is a little more physical. It's a little more confrontational. The tackles are, they go in a little bit harder. It's just two different styles. But I do think what Laporte is doing is trying to plant a seed in the referee, Slavko Vincic, trying to plant a seed in his head. Like, hey, we got to watch Argentina being physical. And that's just mind games.
It's mind games at the end of the day. I mean, it's when you go in and it's basically you're trying to plant a seed, like, subconsciously. That way when it actually happens, it's like, oh, hey, like, I heard this from somewhere, but I don't remember where. All right, hey, there you go. Like, you're planning it subconsciously. You're trying to plan it that way it's on people's minds before heading into the game. It's what you said. It's mind games. You're trying to further that, especially heading into the game in the World Cup. Honestly, it's smart. Like, it's fair enough. Absolutely. You're trying to play with the mind game a little bit.
We'll see if it works. We'll see how the game gets called. It's fascinating when we talk about Argentina, because Argentina is a fascinating country. Their history is all over the place. I think a lot of South Americans don't like Argentina because they say that the Argentines want to be Europeans. A lot of Europeans don't like Argentina because they're not European. So they kind of are that kid with a chip on their shoulder who doesn't have the table to sit at. And that's why I think you get some that get very defensive, that do have a little bit of that, no, we can do this. And I think what's fascinating about Argentine history, when you do kind of go into the non-soccer history of Argentina, it's a country that has had so many ups and downs in their history and recent history. I mean, they had a dictatorship in the late 70s through probably about the mid 80s. They've had horrible economic crises. They've had tons of great, you know, geography, and they used to be one of the largest beef producing countries in the world, and all these different natural resources that they have either lost control of at various times or dried up or different things. It's always been Argentina could be a world power, but they're not. And I think you get a very different kind of attitude out of the Argentine people. And then that carries over to the soccer team, which definitely plays with a chip on their shoulder. They always have. Diego Maradona did. Their great players have always had that us against the world mentality. And this group has that. And we saw it come out against England. We saw it come out in the comeback wins. We've seen it come out consistently. They play with big personality, and that will rub some people the wrong way. I think tomorrow should be a really interesting tactical battle between two top, top teams.
I agree.
I'm fascinated to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it a little bit with John Aiken in the last hour of the show with, you know, the midfields. Both are extremely strong. Both do things differently. How do they cancel each other out? What does it look like? who is going to step up in the big way? And when you have that conversation, you do have to talk about the number 10 for Argentina, who is having the best World Cup of his career at 39 years old. We're going to talk about the full circleness of Lionel Messi on the other side of the break. More Atlanta Soccer Tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths, without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.